You're listening to the New Point Community Church podcast. This message is part of our message series, Momentum. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Good morning, New Point. Well, we've been a series called Momentum, and we're learning the difference that it makes in our own personal life when we have momentum, as well as collectively as a church called New Point. And what I want to do to kick off this lesson today, I want us to be able to get a better idea of how momentum works and what it really looks like. And so I want you to watch the screen here, and you'll get an idea of what I'm talking about this morning. So momentum has to start somewhere, okay, with somebody. And often it starts with somebody who's willing to look foolish and take a risk of even being willing to be ridiculed, of doing something that he believes in. And it turns out that it's easy to get somebody involved. And so here you have a second person joining him and getting in the momentum and cranking it up. Now notice how he embraces the follower who came to join him, okay? He's not shunning him away. He's embracing him and welcoming him to be able to join him in this endeavor here. And so now it's not just about the one individual. It's about two of them. And you're going to see here in a second that now others have a more courageous spirit and are willing to join him as well. And you'll see how this momentum begins to pick up because others will experience that courageous spirit and they will begin to follow along, as you can see. And so here comes more and more and more people. It takes a little while, but once they see what's happening and somebody is bold and courageous, it's a little bit less riskier. And those on the fence are now coming. You can see them coming more and more and more and more because now they won't stand out. They don't feel like they'll get ridiculed. And now they want to be a part of this. And you can just see people just running to be a part of this momentum that is being experienced on the hill. Isn't that amazing? Now, the first guy who started it got ridiculed. What is he doing? He's crazy. And yet, you can see now, he's got a whole movement coming. And everybody is now participating and joining in the fun. And that's a picture of momentum. All right? Now, what we're talking about here today is momentum. And I want to give you the theorem that we're looking at, all right? It's going to come up here on the screen. And it's this that we're working with. Here's the momentum theorem, okay? Let's bring it up on the screen. It says focus intensity over time. That's exactly what we just saw up there, okay? Somebody took a risk, and he was there alone for a while, okay? And yet as he continued to do that, what happened is over time, it was multiplied. Now, I'm not saying that was multiplied by God, okay? All right? But it was multiplied, and then what you ended up having was unstoppable momentum. Unstoppable momentum. And what we believe here at New Point is that we need people who are willing to take risk, and that this is a safe place to take a risk and to begin to do something that maybe is a little bit uncomfortable and yet is very, very significant. And you will find out that when you're willing to do that and you're willing to do it over a time period, that God will multiply that. And you will find yourself experiencing momentum in serving. And so we welcome each and every one of you to be a part of that. And we're going to give you opportunities to be able to join this momentum that we have here at New Point. Now, this is exactly what Christ did when he came to earth. Christ came and he had focused intensity over a period of time, and God multiplied it, which created an unstoppable momentum. The Gospels tells us this in Matthew. It says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now, what Jesus was doing here was every bit, if not more radical than what we just saw there on the screen. He was ridiculed. He was laughed at. Because in Jesus' day, and it happens here today, nobody wanted to serve others. Everybody wanted to be served. And yet Jesus declared, you know what? I've come not to be served, but I have come to serve other people. Matter of fact, he went on to say it like this. He said that if you want to be great, serve. If you want momentum in your life, serve. And so Jesus came to give you and I an example, to be able to start this momentum of being able to serve one another. Matter of fact, he goes on to say this in the Gospels. Let's bring it up, please. In John chapter 13, I have set an example that you might follow. That you might follow. And what is that example? It's to serve. It's to serve. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed. You will be envied. You will be happy if you do these things. And so the way in which you and I can create momentum in our relationships, whether it be marriage, whether it be family, whether it be with our coworkers, whether it be with our community, is to serve people. The quickest and the fastest way that you can get into somebody's life is to serve them. It's not to preach to them. It's not to correct them. It's not to yell at them. It's not to threaten them. The quickest and the fastest way that you can gain influence in someone's life is through serving them. And so let me ask you a question today. Who do you need influence with? It might be your wife. It might be your husband. It might be your son. It might be your daughter. It might be your boss. The quickest and the fastest way to get in their life is to serve them. And Jesus tells us that if we'll follow his example, that we will be what? We will be blessed. We will be rewarded for that. Now, here's what we need to understand. God has called you and I not just to do that with our family. He's called you and I to do that with everyone that we come in contact with. Because here's what the writer John has to say. He says, if anyone has material possessions, we all do. Matter of fact, we have so much that you know what we do? We pay to have it stored. I mean, we go to these storage places and we say, you know, I'm storing all my material stuff, okay? He says, if anyone had, y'all okay on that one? Okay, we got stuff in our garage and in our basement that we haven't used in a long, 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 long time. He says, if anyone has possessions and sees a brother or a sister, now you need to realize this is a relationship, a brother or a sister, in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Wow. He goes on to say this, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but let us love with action and in truth. And so what he is saying here is the way in which we gain momentum is by ultimately serving. And the way in which we serve God is by serving people. Matter of fact, Jesus in Matthew chapter 25, he's telling a parable. And he's talking about when he comes back of how he's going to reward people. And here's what he says. He says, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. And of course, they ask, when did we see you? When did we see you, God? And he says, I was in that person who you served. I was in that woman who you served. I was in that man who you served. And so for us to be able to gain momentum in our relationships with one another, for us to be able to gain relationship in our community, for us to gain relationships and influence in our world. We're called to serve. And whenever we've done it unto the least of these, we've done it unto God. And God will bless you and God will bless me. And he will bless us with unstoppable momentum that allows us to influence people. And what is influence? Influence is the ability to affect one's thinking and one's behavior. Now, we have a lot of people in our world, would you agree with me, who are hurting. And what I want to do today is I want to help you, because I know in your heart as well as my heart and our heart collectively that we want to make a difference in our world. We want to be able to help people and help people who are hurting. And yet for you and I to be able to understand how we can help people, we have to understand this one basic truth. And it's this right here. Poverty is brokenness. The root of all poverty is brokenness. If you see anybody in poverty, I guarantee you, the root cause of it is brokenness. There's a book that was written a number of years ago. It says, when helping the poor hurts. When helping the poor hurts. And what they did is they interviewed 60,000 people who were experiencing poverty. And you know what they said? Here's what they said. They said that poverty is not a lack of material things. Do you get that? These are the poor people who are talking. They said that poverty is not the lack of material things. They said that poverty is a mindset. Is a mindset. It's the way in which we think. And they said that we deal with humiliation, we deal with fear, we deal with the inability to believe that we can do something about our situation. And they came back over and over again, and they said that poverty is a mindset. And I would suggest to you, and they would suggest to you, that it goes back to this, that the root of all poverty is brokenness. That's why the government's not the answer. Y'all okay? Okay. Let me tell you who's the answer. It's the church. It's the church. That's why you hear me say all the time that the local church is the hope of the world, living and teaching the truth of Jesus Christ. You see, the root of all poverty is brokenness. Let me explain it to you in this way. The first one is our broken relationship with God. And because we have a broken relationship with God, we live in a sin-filled, painful world. It all started with Adam and Eve. When they disobeyed God, when they sinned, they broke their relationship with God. And so poverty comes about from our broken relationship with God, but not only our broken relationship with God, our broken relationship with ourself. Our broken relationship with ourself. Because when you have a broken relationship with God, you ultimately are not right with yourself. And so what that leads to is low self-esteem. When they interviewed people in poverty, here's what they said. We feel humiliated. We feel shame. We feel guilt. We feel less than. Why? Because they're not right with themselves. I'm not right with myself. And so we have this broken relationship with God, which leads to a broken relationship with ourselves, which ultimately leads to a broken relationship with others. And so what happens is we live a life of self-centeredness and exploitation. And so we live a life of self-centeredness, and we try to find out how we can exploit every other people or every other person in our life. And what it ultimately leads to is this, and that is broken systems, political, economic, social, spiritual. And so what happens is we look for other systems, other ways to be able to meet our need, when really the root problem that is going on is brokenness. Brokenness. That's why Jesus Christ declared in Luke chapter 4 when he came to earth, he said it like this. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And if you go on and you read the Gospels, you will find out that that's exactly what Jesus Christ came to do. He came to set the captives free. He came to minister to the poor. He came to be able to deliver you and I from poverty in our relationship with God, in our relationship with ourselves, in our relationship with one another. And Acts chapter 10, verse 38 declares it. It says, "God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." And that's what you and I are called to do. And when we go, listen to me, when we go around doing that which is good and healing all people who are oppressed by the devil, then what happens is momentum begins to happen in their own personal life. Because now they begin to realize that there is a God and that he loves them and that they are created in his image and that they are valued and that they are significant and they are accepted. And so now they begin to see themselves as God sees them, which enables them to relate to other people. Other people. The reason why we have poverty today is because we're out of relationship with God and we're out of relationship with one another. You show me anybody in poverty and I'll show you someone who has broken relationships. David said it like this. David said, "I was young and now I am old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or begging for bread." See, there's all kinds of broken systems around us. And that's why God has given the world the church. Because in the church, you have relationships with one another. Matter of fact, you have this on your seat. And these are next steps. This is why we encourage everybody to be a part of a small group. You know why? Because when you're in a small group, you're in relationship. And when you're in relationship, people know about your needs. They know about your hurt. They know about your pain. They know about what you're going through, and God has brought them into your life to minister to you and to help you. Does that make sense? You know, I've had people tell me, "Dwight, I don't think the church cares for me." And I ask them, "What small group are you in?" "I'm not." I understand why. Because you know what? You're not working it the way in which God intended it to work. See, God intends to work through people, through relationships. That's why we say here, we are here to help you to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ by connecting you with God, by connecting you with other people, and by helping you to connect other people to God. Why? Because the root problem of poverty is relationships. Broken relationships. It's brokenness. And when we get our relationship right with God, then we can get our relationship right with ourselves. We can get our relationships right with one another. And what happens is then we experience community. The government can't do that for you. The government will give handout. The government will not give relationships. And poverty always begins with brokenness. And so I want you to take a look at this right here, because this will help you to get connected in relationship here. So that what happens is you will always be able to have your needs met. If you read the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, you will find out that they met in their homes daily and none of them had needs. All of their needs were met. You know why? Because they were in relationship. But if you're not okay with yourself, you won't get in relationship with other people. You'll be fearful. You'll be afraid. And Satan will use that to keep you from getting your needs met. Now, there was a lady in the book of Acts who followed what Jesus said and what Jesus did. Her name was Dorcas. What a name, right? Huh? Dorcas. It says, in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In the Greek, her name was Dorcas. I'll go with Tabitha, okay? All right. She was what? Always doing good and helping the poor. She was always doing good and helping the poor. Let me ask you a question. When somebody would describe your life, what would they say you're always doing? He's always golfing. She's always shopping. She's always... Would anybody say of you or me, they're always doing good and helping the poor? Y'all okay? See, Proverbs would tell us that when you and I help the poor, that we're lending to God. Lending to God, I thought he didn't need anything. No, Jesus said that when you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto who? Me. God has kids. And when you and I help the poor, what happens is we're lending to God. When we're doing good and helping the poor, what happens is God takes notice. Now, if you will read this story about Tabitha, okay, you know what you find out? Just a few verses down. She gets sick and dies. And Peter prays for her, and she's brought back to life. Wow. I think part of it played into the fact that she was always doing good and helping the poor. Would God want to bring you back from the dead? Y'all okay? You know, we pray all the time, right? Right? I pray too. We pray, would God want to bring you back from the dead? Would God want to bring me back from the dead? He did Tabitha. You know why? Because she was always doing good and she was helping the poor. Just a thought. And so if you and I understand that really the root problem of poverty is brokenness. It's brokenness. It's our broken relationship with God. It's our broken relationship with ourselves. It's our broken relationship with one another. And that we have all kinds of broken systems around us. What can you and I do? How can you and I, in a biblical way, begin to help the people who come across your path, who come across my path, who live in Tuscarawas County and beyond? Because that's what we're called to do. And when we serve people, what happens is we will gain momentum in our own life, in our community, and in our world. And so what do we need to do? I want to give you three things. This is going to be very, very helpful to you, okay? Because I'm going to be very, very practical. Hey, mom and dad, listen up, because this is good parenting skills too. Here's the first one. You ready for it? We're called to serve others, not save others. There's only one Savior. His name is Jesus. I'm not in the saving business. Okay? Jesus didn't call me to go out and save people. I can't. Because number one, I can't save anybody who doesn't want to be saved. Right? Have you heard the story? You know, if you go out and somebody is drowning and you're trying to save them, the first thing that you need to tell them is quit trying to save yourself or both of us will what? Drown. Because you can't save somebody who doesn't want to be saved. And so the first thing that you and I are called to do is to serve people. Is to serve people. That's what you're called to do. That's what I'm called to do. I'm not called to do anything more or anything less. Just serve people. God's the one who has to save them. Now, how do we serve others? Two ways, okay? The first way is through relief. It's through relief. And you say, what is relief, Dwight? Well, let me give you a definition of what relief is. Relief is immediate, temporary help during and after a crisis. That's what relief is. It is immediate, temporary help during and after a crisis. This is why it's so important to be in a small group. This is why it's so important to have relationships. Because there are times in your life and there's times in my life I experience a crisis. And I need relief. And so we're called to serve one another in times of crisis. But the other way in which we serve is through restoration. Restoration. And restoration is a long-term relationship to rebuild wholeness. Say, if I just help you in a crisis, that's like putting water in a cup with a hole in it. You'll keep coming back over and over and over. Can you help me again? 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 And the fact of the matter is, I'm not helping you. I'm hurting you. Are y'all okay? Same way with your kids, mom and dad. It's called codependency. And so I'm supposed to help somebody who's in a crisis, but not somebody who's in a lifestyle of crisis. I'm called to restore them. I'm called to rebuild their wholeness and help them to get connected with God and connected with themselves and to be able to get connected with other people. See, I'm not called to save anybody. See, restoration, listen to me. Restoration is where accountability comes in. Hello? See, this is why people don't want to be in relationships. This is why people don't want to be in community. Because the fact of the matter is, we don't want to be accountable for our actions. We want somebody to save us. We don't want somebody to serve us. I can serve you. I can help you. I want to lead you to wholeness. I want to rebuild your life. I want to be able to look and be able. That's why we have FPU. We've got Financial Peace University. You know why? Because we want to lead you to wholeness. We want to rebuild your life so that what happens is you're not living from one paycheck to another paycheck, from one crisis to another crisis. It'll kill you. And so, mom and dad, all of us who are Christ followers, we're called to serve people, not save people. And people will want you to save them. And so when there's a crisis, you know what? We need to help. But then we need to say, hey, you know what? I want a relationship with you because I want to help you be restored and be rebuilt to wholeness. Are you with me? Let me give you the second one. It's this right here. We're called to relate to people, not rescue people. We're called to relate to people, not rescue people. God's not called me to rescue people. It makes people mad. You know why we're not called to rescue people? Because until the pain of remaining the same becomes greater than the pain of change, there'll be no change. And God is all about wholeness. Let me say that again. You need to write that down, put that on your refrigerator. Until the pain of remaining the same becomes greater than the pain of change, there'll be no change. And so what happens is I'm called to relate with people, but not rescue people. I'm called to be in relationship with them. I'm called to love them. I'm called to serve them. I'm called to pray for them. I'm called to stay connected with them, but I'm also called to rebuild them to wholeness. Now, not treating them like a project, okay? Nobody wants to be treated like a project. We're people. We need to be loved. We need to be cared for. But I'm called to relate to people, not rescue people. Can I tell you again that there's only one rescuer? His name is Jesus. And if you're trying to rescue somebody, if you're trying to save somebody, you know what? It will absolutely crush you. And it'll not only crush you, it will begin to affect and destroy your other relationships with other people because you won't be functioning correctly because you're not a savior and you're not a rescuer. You're called to serve. You're called to relate to other people. And so we need to be able to do that. And so we need to stay in relationship as long as they're willing to stay in relationship with us. Okay? Let me talk to mom and dad here today, okay? You got adult kids. You're called to relate to them, not rescue them. If you rescue them, you will rescue them when they're 50 years old. You will go to your grave rescuing them. You're called to relate to them and bring them back because the reason why they need to be rescued is because they're broken. And that's hard for us to be able to grasp. I'm telling you, the root of all poverty, whether it's in a marriage, whether it's financially, whether it's emotionally, you show me an area of your life, you, if I show you an area of my life that is described as being in poverty, it goes back to my brokenness. And Jesus has come to heal my brokenness and to heal your brokenness. And when I get in right relationship with God, what happens is that allows me to be in right relationship with Dwight. And if I'm in right relationship with Dwight, it allows me to begin to relate to other people in a right way. Are you all okay? Because God works through people. God works through relationship. That's why we say here at New Point, it is dangerous to do life alone. That's why I'm accountable. I need to be accountable to a handful of people. You know why? Because I experience brokenness in my life from time to time. And if I don't have somebody in my life who can help me address my brokenness, then what happens is then poverty, whether it's in my relationships, whether it's financially, whatever, will just end up wreaking havoc. That's why Scripture would tell you and I that the fear of people will disable you. The fear of people is a trap. The fear of people is a snare. And we don't want that. Let me give you the third way that we're called to. We're called to reach out to people, not reach down to people. We're called to reach out to people, not reach down to people. You know why? Because I'm not better than anybody. I'm a broken person who's been healed by Jesus. And I'm just one beggar trying to share with another beggar where I found some bread. And I'm just one person trying to share with somebody else, here's how I got my brokenness healed. Here's how I got led out of poverty. Here's how I got freed. Here's how I got delivered. And so I don't reach down to anybody. I'm called to reach out to people because being a Christ follower doesn't make me better than anyone. I like it like this. Someone has said it like this. Following Jesus will make your life better and will make you better at life. Because he's the one who can heal our brokenness. He's the one who can rescue us. He's the one who can save us. And so what happens is I want to share with all the people that I know who are in poverty, whether it's emotionally, spiritually, financially, whatever. You know what? I want to bring you back to the one who can heal you of your brokenness so that you can be made whole, so that you can do life. And so following Jesus, it makes life better. And it'll make you better at life, but it doesn't make you better than people. And so what are we called to do in a healthy, biblical way? We're called to serve people, not save people. We're called to not just serve people, but we're called to be able to relate to people and not rescue people. We're called to reach out to people, but not reach down to people. So let me ask you a question. Would New Point be missed if it did not exist? Would you be missed if you did not exist? So I don't know. It's not a good answer. You should know. We should know. And God's called you and God's called me to serve people, not save them. He's called you and I to be able to relate to people, not rescue them. He's called you and I to reach out to people, not reach down to people. And you know what? We have many opportunities here at New Point, all throughout our community, because you know what? There's people who do things better than we do. And so you know what we want to do as a church? We want to come alongside of them, and we want to support them, and we want to help them. That's why in I'm In, we want to give $100,000 to organizations within Tuscarawas County who's helping people, serving people, relating to people, reaching out to people. And you know what? What I would encourage you to do is to be able to find out some of these and to ask somebody in your small group or go to the information desk to be able to say, you know what, how can I begin to serve people in an effective way that leads them to wholeness? And you know what God will do? He'll begin to create momentum in you, and in others. And here's what I have found out. When I find myself serving other people who are broken and relating to them, you know what I find out? They end up ministering to me in incredible, unbelievable ways. And it's reciprocal. And I find myself experiencing momentum as well. Let's pray. God, we thank you today for who you are. And we thank you that, yes, you are the answer. You're the answer to all of our brokenness. And as we look around our world and we look in our community and we see the brokenness, God, you're the answer. You're the answer. And you've called us to serve. You called us to relate. You called us to reach out. And I pray in my own life and I pray in each of our lives and I pray for us as a church that we would do just that and that we would see momentum shifting. And people coming to wholeness and realizing and reaching their full potential in Jesus Christ. And they would know that they're valuable, that they're special, that they're significant and ultimately accepted. And that momentum would begin to flow in their life and in our community and throughout our world. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to subscribe through iTunes. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.